This is Wisconsin Today. About 10% of people in Wisconsin don't have home internet access at all. Many communities around the state struggle with low speeds and a lack of reliable connection.
In just a bit, we'll hear from a community broadband expert about efforts to bring better internet to Wisconsin residents and why it's so important.
First, the city of Superior launched a new city-owned fiber optic network last month. The city supplies the infrastructure for Connect Superior. Then businesses can use that network to provide high-speed internet. Stephanie Becken is broadband manager for the City of Superior. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
This project in Superior has been a while in the making. What started this initial idea of having city-owned broadband to Superior?
I think the big thing, it wasn't the first idea, right? So when we go back a few years, the big catalyst for this was noticing that there's better options out there. And so originally Superior was reaching out to the incumbents, was reaching out to who already had systems here asking for better. And when the response wasn't what the city leadership at the time wanted to hear, right? There was not interest in making new investment. There was not interest in updating systems. Then those city leaders decided to keep digging, right? To find what the other options were. And after years of research, lots of consulting, lots of talking to other communities, the open access broadband system was what the city decided to go with. And so years and years in the making, lots of curiosity, lots of digging into what it means to take the very best care of our citizens when they need to navigate this digital world that we live in.
This open access system, spell it out for me. What are the nuts and bolts here?
Sure. So lots of different communities do this differently. This is very much the norm when you're in Europe, like if you're in Sweden, places like that. But what it means here is that the city owns the infrastructure. So the city of Superior owns all of the cable in the ground. They own all of the fiber. They own the systems that run everything. However, we do not provide the actual internet service. So we allow outside providers, internet service providers, to be the ones that provide the internet. So they're the ones that help the customers with their different packages that they might like. They're the ones that handle all of the actual billing to the customers at the very end. So there is just that layer of separation where, yes, we take care of the infrastructure. We make sure that person can get the access that they want, but then we leave it to the internet service provider to provide that service.
And that seems like an interesting solution to the problem, because if the cables aren't there and I'm an internet provider, I'm thinking, well, are there enough people in this community who are willing to pay enough to, you know, justify me putting these things in the ground? Well, that part's already done now, right? So if I'm one of these companies or five of these companies, that's already there and I'm just doing the thing I mainly do.
Exactly. So because the infrastructure now exists, because the City of Superior has made that investment in our community, these providers can come on, focus on what they do best. So we're not asking them all to make these huge infrastructure investments, right? They can focus on what they do best. We get more diversity of offerings for our citizens, and we keep moving forward.
I want to get a little before and after here, Stephanie. Before this started, what were the kind of experiences people were having? What kind of problems were they running into because the community didn't have this kind of high-speed access?
That is such a good question, and I can think of just a few experiences, right? Some places in Superior have great access, right? They are right by the lake. They're right next to a tower. So some people in Superior are like, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. And then there's everybody else that just saw things spinning. And really, when COVID hit and we were asking school children to just do everything online, when we were asking everybody to, you can do it online, it'll work, it didn't. So things spun and they spun and they spun, and services went down for, you know, maintenance windows that weren't scheduled. Oh, sorry, you just have to deal with it. So that level of just waiting and then being told, well, you can do this while you miss an appointment, while you miss a class, while you just can't. So that was the experience. And on this other end of it, now I think my favorite story is working with a college professor who works in communication. And he showed me his setup with his kid. They have these awesome gaming setups that he and his 10-year-old play together. Now they can play at the exact same time while he's uploading photos for class, while he's sending videos to his counterpart in Madison. So he's able to work, he's able to play, he's able to do all at the same time. And he's like, this is what we're supposed to be able to do. When people say this is what technology is, he's like, this is what technology is supposed to do. And now Superior has it.
Right. That's an example. What has the uptake been since you flipped the switch? I'm guessing there wasn't an actual switch, but metaphorically flipped the switch. What has the reaction been in town?
Very positive. I would say there's always people who are waiting for it, right? Who is like, well, when is it my turn? And that is the hardest question to answer, right? And it's hard to say, well, this neighbor has it now. We're at about 10% of our area that can have it, now have it. So we passed over just over 800 houses. We are well over 80 orders. So within the first 2 months, we've hit 10% of our potential customer base, which is huge. That was a number for an entire year, and we've done that in 2 months, and it just keeps growing. So a lot of the initial ones were looking at their neighbors that got it first, like, okay, what's it really like? And what's it really like? It's great. So the next pieces are like the longevity of it, to continue to make sure that the service is high quality, to continue to help people be curious, right? To learn why it's different, why it might fit their lives really, really well. And just to continue to support people as they learn.
Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you bet.
We're talking about a new city-owned broadband network. That was Stephanie Becken, broadband manager for the city of Superior. Now, other communities around the state are facing similar issues that Superior has: slow internet speeds, lack of reliable access, and companies not showing up to build those things. Christopher Mitchell is director of community broadband networks at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Chris, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
This issue of broadband access, how big a deal is it? How common is it for people to not have these kind of speeds in communities that you need in a lot of ways to participate in modern life?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a majority of people, but it's more than a few. And we don't really know how many because no government agency is tracking this effectively. We know that there are millions of people with no internet service. And I would say that most people probably have a decent service. And I would say more than 50%. But somewhere in between are the people who are dissatisfied, and legitimately so.
The Trump administration canceled the Digital Equity Act earlier this year. What kind of impact has that had on state and local efforts to expand broadband access?
So it is helpful to know that the Digital Equity Act is kind of the skills, the devices, and trying to develop plans for affordability. And that has been turned off. There is still money going to rural areas where people don't have a wire or a strong wireless signal. And there are also changes happening there under the Trump administration. But those are two separate things, and they're kind of both going in the wrong direction. We thought we were going to be much further ahead in 2026, 2027 than I think we will be now, unfortunately.
Focusing on infrastructure and efforts by local communities to develop their own, places like Superior. I'm looking at your website right now. There's a sentence, the legal environment in Wisconsin is generally unfavorable toward municipal broadband utilities. What are some of the obstacles you see in place in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin has some state laws that make it a little more challenging for communities to embrace some business models. I don't know if Superior would say that they have been disadvantaged, but if you're a city that would like to build a network where the city itself is offering service, there might be additional hurdles that were put there, I think historically by the lobbyists from companies like AT&T, Charter Spectrum, and others who were concerned about competition, and they tried to limit any competition that they would face.
If a community, if say a local community leader's out there listening, saying, yeah, we don't have great broadband service and we don't have companies knocking on our doors wanting to build it, what do you suggest as a first step toward doing some kind of municipal-backed internet service?
I think the first thing to do is to research. And I say that very seriously because this is something that we've seen hundreds of cities do. I think there's on the order of 800 cities that have had some kind of intervention, with about 300 cities having a citywide service. And we've seen some cities struggle because it is hard. Cities can do it, and the overwhelming number of cities have done it well. But the cities that have done it well have taken it seriously. They've spent time understanding it. They've worked with consultants or others who have industry experience to understand where things could go wrong and to have a plan for that. And then the other thing I think that's really important is that some cities have a track record of just making good infrastructure investments. And that often comes from a healthy council that is doing the research and taking local input seriously, making sure that they have a sense of what the demand is from residents and from businesses. That's all important before one goes too far down this road.
You were recently, I understand, Chris, part of leading a tribal broadband boot camp in the UP in Michigan that included some Wisconsin tribes. What were some of your takeaways from that?
Yes, we are seeing a lot of tribal nations starting to build their own networks. Within Wisconsin, you actually have Bad River, Lac des Flambeaux, Red Cliff are just three of the tribes that have made investments, sometimes with federal support. And they are trying to make sure that people on the reservation are well served. And then of the about 100 of the networks we see around the country that are tribal internet service providers, many of them have actually started serving the rural areas around them somewhat because they're already building a network for people on the reservation. It makes sense to go beyond that a little bit so they can help the communities around them. You know, there's parts of Wisconsin where you can have amazing internet service from a local company or some company that's made the investment. And then you could go 10 miles down the road and find that people have really poor service. Well, that 10 miles down the road is where we often see the tribal nations, where there has not been a lot of investment. And that's why many of them are starting to build their own networks to make sure that they can decide how to engage with the technology of today and tomorrow.
Chris, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Christopher Mitchell, Director of Community Broadband Networks at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. We also heard from Stephanie Becken, Broadband Manager for the City of Superior. We've been talking about efforts around the state to bring high-speed internet to rural communities, including Superior's new city-owned fiber optic network called Connect Superior. How is internet service in your community? Did it get better over the last few years, or are there still a lot of problems? Let us know about it. You can send us an email, wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.